Good day, my dear brothers and sisters. This is Father Blake Britton from St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today, we will be reflecting on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 21 through 29. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty deeds in your name?' Then I will declare to them solemnly, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you evildoers.' Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came and the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined." When Jesus finished these words, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as their scribes. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In order to properly appreciate the Gospel of St. Matthew, we have to understand its context and its audience. Each of the four Gospels are written with a specific kind of audience in mind. For example, the Gospel of Luke is written for a primarily Gentile audience, meaning those who did not practice the Jewish religion. We know that for the first several centuries of Christianity, there was tension between the Jewish Christians and the Gentile Christians. Luke's gospel, as well as the Acts of the Apostles, address that tension and also specifically focus on the parts of Christ's life and teaching which is applicable to Gentile Christians and helps them to feel welcomed into the community of Catholicism. Matthew's gospel, on the other hand, is written with Jewish Christians in mind. For this reason, Matthew goes to great lengths correlating Christ with figures of the Old Testament, such as Moses and David. For example, the Beatitudes, which by far is the hermeneutical key of the Gospel of Matthew. What I mean by that is the Beatitudes is the lens of interpretation by which to properly understand Matthew's emphasis throughout his gospel. In that moment, Jesus goes up a mountain and sits. Going up a mountain, just like Moses did to receive the Ten Commandments. And he sits, which is a position of authority and teaching. From that position, he presents a new set of commandments. He builds upon, he elaborates upon the Decalogue that was originally given to Moses. And that becomes what we call the Beatitudes. These are the ways in which we are to fulfill, to supersede, to go beyond just the base requirements of the Ten Commandments, and to now enter into the fullness of Christian living. And each of the Beatitudes help us conform to the very heart of Jesus. For Jesus, first and foremost, is the one who is humble of heart, who is pure of heart, who is poor in spirit, who suffers persecution for the sake of righteousness. And in so doing, we too are able to share in the life, freedom, and salvation of Jesus Christ. With that in mind, we can now see today's gospel with a proper understanding that the main point which Jesus is getting across focuses on a reconciliation between external appearances and internal reality. As Christians, we cannot be dualistic, meaning we cannot be two-faced. What we are on the outside is what we are supposed to be on the inside. This, of course, comes from Jesus himself when he speaks about committing adultery of the heart. Amen, amen, I say to you, even a man who looks at a woman with lust has committed adultery with her in his heart. So even though the man did not physically commit adultery with that woman, even if he thinks, even if internally he desires it with lust or passion, he is committing a sin. There must be a reconciliation between what we live externally, between our actions externally, and between our interior reality. Those who say, Lord, Lord, they will not necessarily enter the kingdom of heaven, because if those words exit our lips, if those words go out from us but are not rooted in a deeper faith of the heart, if we just say our prayers rotely, if we just attend the Mass with lukewarmness, if we practice our faith by going through the motions, this is a way in which we say, Lord, Lord, but it does not really mean anything. And St. James even goes to the extent of saying that those who live such a Christianity have a faith equivalent to that of demons. For demons too recognize that Christ is the Lord. They just don't believe it. They are intelligent enough to know that Jesus is the Savior, but they don't recognize it in their hearts. They don't practice it with all of their being. They despise that truth. They're abhorred by it. We see that in the Gospels when Jesus interacts with demons or those who are possessed. The demons say, Christ, truly you are the Messiah. They recognize him as Messiah, but that does not mean that they are saved, because these demons do not speak those words with love. They do not speak those words with a full heart. They do not call Jesus Lord from the depths of their being. They call him Lord spitefully. They say this name without any sort of care or consideration for its reality. So as we read today's gospel, the Lord is challenging us in a very real way to really practice what we preach, to really allow what people see on the outside to be what is actually taking place on the inside. That our faith is not simply a collection of emotions or a collection of sentiment or just a mere conglomeration of external practices, but is authentically an act of faith, authentically an act of devotion, piety, and holiness. Let us ask the Lord for the grace of authenticity. This is a very important Christian virtue, to be genuine, to really be who Christ has called us to be, to not be hypocrites. That word hypocrite from the Greek word for mask. We are not supposed to wear mask. We're supposed to be truly who Christ called us to be, authentic human persons, alive in Jesus Christ the Lord, and living the truth of his holy gospel for all to see. Amen.